favor in charity. You must pledge that the Sankirtan movement will not be checked, at least in the district of Nadia. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking to the Qazi at the towards the conclusion of the whole Leela of the Qazi stopping the Sankirtan movement, then Lord Chaitanya organizing it on a big scale, and then taking out very, very big Sankirtan party right to the house of the Qazi, and then confronting him and debating with him and getting the Qazi to accept that the chanting of Hare Krishna must go on. It is valid and it must not be stopped. So here the Lord is saying like that. Ekadana, I want some charity, like a gift from you. Your promise that the Sankirtan movement will not be stopped. No attempt will be made to stop it, at least in that area of Nadia, which is around Navadweep, and out from Navadweep also for some distance. It's like a district. Yes, so there's no purport here. Let us just carry on. Kazi kahe moravangse yata upajive tahake talaka diva kirtana na vadive. The Qazi said, to as many descendants as take birth in my dynasty in the future, I give this grave admonition. No one should check the Sankirtan movement. And the purport by Srila Prabhupada is just very small purport. As a result of this grave injunction by the Qazi, even at present, the descendants of the Qazi's family do not oppose the Sankirtan movement under any circumstances. Even during the great Hindu-Muslim riots in neighboring places, the descendants of the Qazi honestly preserved the assurance given by their forefather. And we can report to you all, I'm sure some of you have experienced it even, is that to this very day, if you go to that place, it's a couple of 2 or 3 or so kilometers, something like that, back up the road, Shishi Radhakalokananda Ki. It's a couple of 2 or 3 kilometers, something like that, back from the Ganges, on the main road which does lead to Mayapur. So if you go there, even now, and we do, we go, usually we go every year, and you still find those people there. There's a tree, there's actually 2 trees which are sort of entwined together. There's a neem tree, which represents Lord Chaitanya, Nimai. And there is actually a, well, I don't know what you call them here, but in South Africa they're frangipani trees. Very, very common with very fragrant flowers. So they are growing together, basically. One assumes they were planted deliberately like that. And that frangipani tree represents the Qazi, and that is actually underneath those trees is the samadhi of the Qazi, where his body was buried when he passed away. So yeah, it's called the Chand Qazi Samadhi. And you go in there, and almost inevitably, you will meet an elderly Muslim gentleman with the typical paraphernalia appearance of a Muslim gentleman. You know, the hat, the beard with no mustache. These are very typical Muslim things. And he's a Muslim. And you can go in there, and he'll greet you very nicely and in a very friendly way. And if you don't know anything about these things, you think, oh, he's a local devotee. Well, he sort of is to some degree, but actually he's a practicing Muslim. Yeah. So yes, let us carry on, because that was just a very short little purport. We'll carry on till we find a substantial purport. Shuni Prabhu Hari Bali Utila Apani Utila Vaishnava Sava Kali Haridwani. Hearing this, the Lord got up, chanting Hari Hari. Following him, all the other Vaishnavas also got up, chanting the vibration of the holy name. Kirtana Karite Prabhu Karila Gamana Sange Chare Aise Kaji Ulasita Mana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back to perform kirtan, and the Qazi, his mind jubilant, went with him. Kachire Vidaya Dila Shachiranandana Nachite Aila Apanapavana. The Lord asked the Qazi to go back home. Then the son of Mother Sachi came back to his own house, dancing. Emate Kachire Prabhu Karila Prasada Iha Ye Shune Tara Kande Aparada. This is the incident concerning the Qazi and the Lord's mercy upon him. Anyone who hears this is also freed from all offenses. Yes, I would take it that means those of you who've been following the recitation of the whole pastime over the last whatever weeks, I guess it is every Saturday, if that's how you do things. Anyone who hears this is freed from all offenses. So, Hare Krishna, you're now freed from all offenses. So now we switch over to a whole other, totally different story. You know, I'm sure over the last few weeks, however long you've been going through the verses dealing with the deliverance of the Chand Qazi, I'm sure there's been lots of discussion about all the different aspects of that pastime, because there are many different things. So I don't think we need to repeat it, do we? How it all came to that point. Sorry?
And that's known much better.
Oh, he's the one.
Situation. Yeah.
Oh.
You know this situation.
I see. Okay, anyway, let me just mention that Lord Chaitanya reached a point. Well, not just reached a point, but following the disappearance of his father, Jagannath Mishra, he's passing away. Not long after, Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya to perform the final rites you know, the funeral had taken place, but then there's some concluding ceremonies which are traditionally done in the Vedic tradition, and they're often done in Gaya because it has some special significance like that, in the sense that it is said that anyone who has those ceremonies done at that place, then they're liberated. So Lord Chaitanya, following the tradition, he went there to Gaya and did those ceremonies for his father. And while he was there, he met Ishwara Puri again. He'd already met Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri, in fact, had come to Navadvip perhaps a year before, some time before. And Ishwara Puri had stayed in the house of Lord Chaitanya's parents, Jagadmisha and Mother Sachi. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, who was living there, associated with him. And Ishwara Puri stayed for some time. I can't remember, or I don't know how long, but I believe it was some months. It was a fair period of time. He stayed there and they associated closely. And Lord Chaitanya would meet with him very regularly. And they would discuss. And Ishwara Puri was very great devotee and very great scholar. And Lord Chaitanya was extremely impressed. Even though generally up to that point, Lord Chaitanya was not really presenting himself openly as a devotee. Previously he had been, you know, people considered him an arrogant young non-devotee. He mellowed out as time went on, but still he was not manifesting himself openly as a devotee. But he was extremely impressed by Ishwara Puri. There was one particular exchange. I don't think it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Ishwara Puri is staying there in Navadvip, in the family house. Lord Chaitanya is meeting with him regularly. And Ishwara Puri asks Lord Chaitanya, he says that you are a great Sanskrit scholar, because Lord Chaitanya at that time, he was teaching Sanskrit. This is what he was doing on a daily basis, and he was expert Sanskrit scholar. So Ishwara Puri told Lord Chaitanya that I have written a book. It's a book called Sri Krishna Vijay. I have written a book about Krishna. I would like you to check it, read it, and check it, and see if there are mistakes. And Lord Chaitanya tried to refuse because he was so respectful towards Ishwara Puri. You know, saying like, how can I check you, whatever you say or do is worshipable. How can I judge it, and how can I possibly try to correct anything you do? It would just be inappropriate completely. But Ishwara Puri insisted. And so Lord Chaitanya read it overnight and came back the next morning and said, you know, I read the book, it's really wonderful, but I found one mistake. There is a Sanskrit grammatical mistake. Now, I suspect that not so many of you are familiar with Sanskrit grammar. No offers. And therefore you may not know the difference between Atmanepad and Parasmaipad. These are verbal forms. Like, you know, we have future, present, past. These are the most basic verbal forms. I am here, I will be here, I was here. So, but there are numerous others. So in Sanskrit also, there are these different verbal forms. And it's discussed, if I remember correctly, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat. The actual discussion between the two of them. And Lord Chaitanya says, you know, this verb, you have put in Parasmaipad form. Actually, it should be in Atmanepad form. So, you know, I'm informing you of this. Have a look, see what you think, and let me know. The next day, Ishvara Puri came back to Lord Chaitanya and said, you know what? It was correct the way I had it. And what you've suggested is not actually correct. Because there, you know, there are considerable complexities in Sanskrit grammar and all sorts of contingencies and things which other things depend on, and when this changes, other things change. It's not easy. It's a bit more difficult than crayon. So Ishvara Puri, he said, you know, I really checked. I take very seriously what you say, but I checked and checked and checked. I Googled it. And I have concluded. It is clear to me that actually the way I had it was right. And then he explained the reasoning. And Lord Chaitanya was forced to agree. You're right, actually. My suggestion was not correct. And therefore, Ishvara Puri became the first person to ever defeat Lord Chaitanya. Before that, you know, when he was at school, Lord Chaitanya was studying Sanskrit grammar, particularly, and, you know, sort of general educational things, but with a real emphasis on Sanskrit grammar. And he became so expert. And not just Sanskrit grammar, but like traditional systems of logic. In Sanskrit, it's called Nyaya. Nyaya. And systems of argument, ways of establishing points, systematic ways, not simply shouting at people until they give in, but actually, you know, strategies of argument. And in his class were a number of devotees. Gadadhar Pandit was the main one, who's from the Panchatattva. And the next one was Mukunda Dutt, and there were others too, who were from devotee families, and who were, they're just young boys, but they were devotees. And they were trying to debate with Lord Chaitanya on all sorts of different things. It was just part of the educational process. They would have these debates. And Lord Chaitanya would always completely defeat them. And whenever he did, he wouldn't just defeat them and say, okay, I defeated you. He would rub it in. Yeah, you stupid. Why did you say that? Idiot. and this sort of thing. He was a bit aggressive about it. He was quite aggressive about it. And this was just going on and just repeatedly for some years at school. And sometimes these young devotees, particularly Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda Dutt, they would try to debate with Lord Chaitanya. Well, debate, they try to convince him to become a devotee. Actually, just in regards to the debating, they would have these competitions. You take one point, I take the opposing point, and let's see who can establish their point the best. Lord Chaitanya would always win completely, as we said. Then what he would sometimes do, he would then say that actually, you know, you've had some good points. You had some good points. Let me try to argue from your point of view, and you argue now from my point of view, because you've got some good points. Yeah, I would like to give you a chance to establish your good points. So Lord Chaitanya would then take the position he had been arguing against and which he had defeated very strongly, and then defeat the opinion and the arguments he had been presenting before that, and smash them completely. Like, who, what sort of fool could argue this point? And then he would mock them and these types of things. So, but anyway, as we said, sometimes these young devotees, his very close friends, particularly Gadadhar Pandit and Mukunda Dutt, they tell Nimai, as he was known then, come on, why don't you become a devotee? You could be a very good devotee. Study the Vaishnava philosophy and you'll see it's just wonderful. And you know, get into chanting Hare Krishna. It's so nice. Come on, become a devotee. And Lord Chaitanya always would just laugh and say, me, you want me to become one of these Hare Krishnas? And jump up and down and shout Hare Bol and Hare Bol and make a fool of myself. You want me to do that? Forget it. You keep it. But it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. After some time, when their time at school was coming to an end, as they're sort of getting ready to graduate or whatever, one day Mukunda Dutt again made the same presentation. Come on, become a devotee. You could be a very good devotee. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, if you insist, I'll become a devotee then. All right, are you satisfied? And Mukunda Dutt just couldn't believe it. What have I just heard? He's going to become a devotee. But see his attitude. So Mukunda Dutt was a bit bewildered. And Lord Chaitanya continued, you know, okay, I'll become a devotee. But you watch me. You just wait and see. I am going to become such a devotee, you won't believe it. I will become the best devotee. You will never have seen such a great devotee as me. And Mukunda thought, oh my gosh, here we go. This arrogance and pride. Lord Chaitanya said, I am going to become such a great devotee. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva will come and offer their obeisances to me. Just wait and see. And Mukunda said, oh, okay, all right. Thanks very much. Yes. So, okay, so but then, Lord Chaitanya now is Shri Puri's there. And like in school, as we said, no one came anywhere near defeating him. He was the sort of person who could argue that, you know, it is nighttime. You could argue it. You take that point of view. And you take the point that it is daytime. And he would completely defeat you. Totally. And you come out thinking, oh. So he'd never been defeated, but then Ishvara Puri defeated him, as we just mentioned. And Lord Chaitanya was really impressed that no one has ever come anywhere near approaching defeating me, but you've defeated me. So he developed a very reverential attitude towards Ishvara Puri. And although he didn't ask him for initiation at that time, but in his heart, he made that type of decision that I must accept this person as my spiritual master. So anyway, whether it was a year or however long, sometime later, some months at least, Jagannath Mishra passed away. Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, did the final rites, met Ishvara Puri again. And again they met and they discussed, and it was just wonderful experience. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, will you please accept me as a disciple? And Ishvara Puri agreed. Although Ishvara Puri understood, he already understood internally, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if in the course of his Leela, he wants me to serve him in this way, all right, I'll do it. So he agreed. And he initiated Lord Chaitanya, a different sort of initiation to what the two main initiations, at least, which are there for us. He initiated him, Lord Chaitanya, by giving him a Gopal mantra. A Gopal mantra. It's a type of Gayatri mantra. So there's a little different type of initiation, but in principle, it's the same in the sense of taking shelter of a spiritual master and then progressing in devotional service under the shelter and guidance and supervision like that of the spiritual master. So this happened then. And of course there's the famous incident where just immediately after being initiated, just like right there at the end of the whatever ceremony, whatever they'd done, Lord Chaitanya asked Ishvara Puri, so okay, now I'm initiated, what should I do? What is my duty? And Ishvara Puri spoke that very famous verse, Hariyar Naam, Hariyar Naam, Hariyar Naam, Eva Kevalam, Kalonas Jevanas Jevanas Jevagatiranita. You should just chant the holy names because it's the only thing in Kali Yuga. And so Lord Chaitanya did that. He went away chanting. And his chanting, of course, is better than our chanting. I'm not trying to insult any of you or your chanting. But Lord Chaitanya's chanting was on such an elevated and glorious level of chanting in pure devotion, that he more or less immediately started exhibiting very dramatically ecstatic emotional symptoms, like tears pouring from the eyes, body shaking violently. There are eight main emotional symptoms called Ashta Sattvika Bhava. And Lord Chaitanya started manifesting these very dramatically, to the point that his body was shaking so much and his voice was stammering so much that he couldn't pronounce the mantra properly. He couldn't pronounce the mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so he went back to Ishwarpuri and sort of complained. What sort of mantra have you given me? I try to chant, but as soon as I try to chant, I become overwhelmed and I can't chant. And he asked them, would you please help me solve this problem? Yeah, sort me out, straighten me out, get me back on the right path of chanting, because obviously I'm not chanting properly. And Ishwarpuri, who, as we mentioned, he already understood who is Lord Chaitanya, he just laughed and said, congratulations, my dear child, you have perfected your life. Anyway, then after that, I mean, there's more certain details what happened between them there. But then basically, shortly afterwards, Lord Chaitanya returned to Navadvip, back down to Bengal from Gaya, which is in Bihar. And Lord Chaitanya immediately started manifesting all these symptoms of love of God based on chanting the holy names. And he became like a God-intoxicated person. Shishi Radha, Golokananda, Sri, Shigonitai, Shigiri Godadan, King. He became a God-intoxicated person. And he went back to teaching Sanskrit. He went back to teaching Sanskrit. But he modified the system of teaching to a system which is completely Krishna conscious. Like, if you remember when you're at school, at least in English, grammar, there are nouns. Do you remember what a noun is? There are verbs. You remember what verbs are? There are adjectives, and etc. There's a whole thing. So in Sanskrit, there is also these different groups of types of words with different functions and different ways of putting the words together and making sentences and expressing things. And you know, so many of these things have their specific names. So he started giving all these things Krishna conscious names. And just one little example which I remember is that in Sanskrit there's a set of rules, very important rules, called the rules of Sandhi. And the rules of Sandhi means the rules governing what happens when two words meet each other. Like, well, let us just take as an example what we chanted earlier and we chant regularly, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So rules of Sandhi mean that, like in this little mantra, that when we say Namo Bhagavate, but in its original form, Namo is Namaha. But according to the rules of Sandhi, when O is the last letter of a word, and the first letter of the next word is Ba, Ba, B-H, B-H-A, then the Aha changes to, guess what?
O.
O. Just means something about Sanskrit. So instead of Om Namaha Bhagavate Vasudevaya, we chant Om Namo. That is a rule of Sandhi. It's one of many. Same thing with Om Namo Shivaya. When Aha meets Sha, then Aha becomes O, and you know, it's a really complex picture. So he classified certain letters as that group, you know, like we have consonants and vowels. Do you remember those? Do you remember? Not so much. The vowels are A, I, O, E, U. These are the classic vowels. Consonants are everything else. B, C, D, and so on. So, okay. He said that one of the groups, we will call them Vaishnavas. And another group, we will call Sadhus. And now, when a word which has a Vaishnav at the end meets a word which has a sadhu in the beginning, are you following me? Then the rule of Sandhi, how they change, is called satsang. It's called satsang. Because it's what you expect when a Vaishnava has to meet. Okay. All right. So Lord Chaitanya, where were we? Yeah, so he was teaching Sanskrit. There was a person called Panini, who historically was the great sort of organizer and systematizer of the Sanskrit language, but Lord Chaitanya modified his system by sort of Vaishnavizing it or something like that, Krishnizing it. So Lord Chaitanya became a God-intoxicated person. Everything was something to do with Krishna. Everything. And he never talked about anything except Krishna. And he was like adapting things, like adapting the Sanskrit language in terms of Krishna, etc. Then, what brings us to this point? Then, Lord Chaitanya got this inspiration. There were already devotees in Navadvip. There were many devotees. But they were sort of repressed by the Muslim government. They could only gather, you know, in their own little houses, and they had to keep quiet so the neighbors didn't complain. And, you know, like if you go to particularly Doha, you know where Doha is, Qatar, if you go there, we had lots of devotees. They, for the 50th anniversary, they had a goal, if I remember correctly, of 64 bhakti vrikshas in the one city. All totally underground, completely, totally, to the point that, you know, I've been there a number of times, to the point that when they come for the program, Their programs are done on Friday because it's a Muslim country. So they have, it's like their Sunday programs on Friday. All these bhakti rikshas meet. So we would go and visit some during the course of the day. And when, and they're in private houses. And you, all the devotees have to park around the block in different places and then walk back. They can't just come and, you know, just park in front of the place and here we are. No way. They have to park away somewhere else. So the government doesn't think that there is some deviant Hindu program going on, because otherwise they'll crush it, they'll stop it. Absolutely. So this was the situation, more or less. Muslims were ruling Bengal, and they were very repressive. And they were supported by the caste Brahmins, who are Hindus. But, you know, for whatever reason, they were cooperating with the government, and they would report Hindus or devotees to the Muslims if, like, the devotees had kirtan and it was too loud. They would report them. So Lord Chaitanya came back from the funeral of his father and from being initiated into this environment in Navadvip. Advaita Acharya was the leader of the Vaishnavas. And Lord Chaitanya, he started associating with the Vaishnavas. And then when he did that, he found out about this repression. And he didn't like it at all. And so Lord Chaitanya decided, we're not going to take this. So initially he sent some devotees out into the streets to do public harinam, and he didn't go with them. They went out, and the Qazi came personally with a group of soldiers and physically attacked them and broke a mridanga. He picked up a mridanga and threw it on the ground and said, you know, anyone, if you do this again, we will convert you to Islam. What does that mean? Does it mean they're going to sit down and convince you you should become a Muslim? No, they had all these weird beliefs. That if a Muslim comes with some, like, offered Muslim water, Muslim prasad water, or something, and sprinkles it on you, you're a Muslim. Like it or not. Seriously. And so elsewhere, Prabhupada explains that sometimes the Muslims would come to a Hindu village in which there was a well which everyone would use. And without the village Hindu people knowing, they would offer the well to Allah. And so everyone is now taking the water, drinking the water and everything. And the Muslim would come back and say, ha ha ha, you're all Muslims now. And you know, you won't believe it, but in many cases the people believed it. And whole villages were converted wholesale just on the basis of some stupid idea. It's fantastically stupid. It's just too fantastically stupid. Yeah, they would accept it. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, when the devotees came back and said, look at this, you know, and he threatened to convert us to become Muslims, and it was just a whole big crisis. Lord Chaitanya became too angry. And that's when Lord Chaitanya took out the Harinam party and gathered. You know, initially it just started with some group, but more and more people joined. And it was in the evening. And eventually there were millions of people in this Harinam party. And they went to the Qazi's palace, which is where the Samadhi is now, if you're familiar with that area. And some of them attacked the palace of the Qazi and started smashing it. And the Qazi could see they're going to kill me. And Lord Chaitanya didn't try to stop them. So he came out and met with Lord Chaitanya, and they had a sort of a debate. But Lord Chaitanya was able to convince them. Not exactly that the Qazi became like a devotee, a regular devotee, but at least to convince them that it is valid, and therefore it must not be stopped. It would be wrong to stop it. So he and his descendants have remained Muslims, and to this day they're still there. And they're still Muslims, but they're very tolerant. Not just tolerant, they're quite welcoming, usually, with the devotees. And that's the story. Hari Bol. It's 8:30, what should we do? Should we stop? Is this the normal time? It is. Krishna Chandra Prabhu has ordered them to stop.
No, I'm just saying the situation.
Okay. Anyway, what's starting now? It's starting from verse 227, which we have not read yet. We read up to 226. It's a completely different pastime. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda delivering the son of Srinath Thakur. Totally different pastime and really wonderful pastime. And I think you should just, next Saturday, I think you should just read it and discuss it amongst yourselves. Because, you know, it would take more than 5 or 10 minutes to go through. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande
ki jai. Gidhaniya Pakhi Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Thank you.